And a very good afternoon to you. So we'll be catching up with our reporters as the day goes on. But there's a very interesting story doing the rounds about a strange hybrid born in County Kildare. And it's a hybrid between a sheep and a... Don't fill in the blanks. A goat. All right. Apparently people are wondering whether to call it a geep or a shoat. And if you have any other creative suggestions, by all means, text to 51551. Anyway, the geep, we're going to call it for the moment, was born 2 weeks ago. Should I say to Paddy Farmer Murphy, as if he had some hand, act, or part in it, of Ballymore Eustace, County Kildare. And here's a clip of Paddy talking to the Farmer's Journal.
On the hill there at the back end of last year, and the yows were tipping, but there was a goat tipping them as far as I could see. And I came home then and I was asking a few lads and they said nothing had happened. But here we are now, 5 months later, and this is the progeny of a goat out of a Cheviot jaw. I don't know what you call it.
A geep,
I think. Some of the boys are telling me it's a geep. It's a week old. Week old today.
You've been fairly surprised by how nimble he is for a...
Oh, he's like a deer, yeah. He's unbelievable. He's so fast now, you'd have to get him into the pen to catch him. Like, there's no chance you'd catch him otherwise.
And you've been very surprised that the horns are already shown on the head of
Yeah, yeah. There's two right stumps there now. You can see him. They're very, very strong, yeah. Oh, he's an unusual character.
And come here, you wouldn't think about start breeding more of them, seeing as they've been
all
the attention.
Oh, not at all. This is a pure shock to the system. This is one-off.
Pure shock to the system, a one-off. Aina, anyway, you've been doing a bit of investigation.
But well,
Aina and
that.
Richard are here, needless to say.
I saw this at the beginning of April and I said to myself, that is an April fool, because a sheep is one species and a goat is another species and it's the beginning of April. Yeah, yeah, right. But actually, when I went to dig, I found that this has occurred in, you know, before. I spoke to the head of Chagas, who's the head of sheep in Athenry, and
Of sheep in Athenry?
Well, not the head
is
of sheep. No. The poor man has a better title than that. But they advised me that this has been known to happen before. Now, very, very rarely. And they gave me a quotation, and I have the paper here, of Science from 1907 recording this event happening in America, where you have, again, the owl brings forth offspring that was given to her by the goat as opposed to by the ram. And so this has been known to happen occasionally. You see, the thing
Sorry, Aina, can I just ask you, before we move on from it, what date in 1907 is that paper printed?
That date in 1907, there is actually no date on it, in fact.
On it's the off chance it was the 1st of April, 1907.
No, it wasn't. It's just a Science magazine volume, whatever it is.
Mean they're beyond having an April Fool's
Well,
guy.
Perhaps not.
Perhaps,
but anyway, the thing is that when I was in college, it used to be that two animals were a different species, unless three things could happen. To be the same species, you have to be able to mate, you have to be able to have offspring, and the offspring have to be fertile. So, obviously, two things. I mean, if you think of a horse and a donkey, for example, horses and donkeys can mate, mm-hmm. horses and donkeys have offspring mm-hmm. called mules or genets, but mules and genets are sterile. So, therefore, the three things don't occur. This tells us that a horse and a donkey are two different species. Now, with the same case with the goat and the sheep, patently they mated, they had offspring. Generally, the offspring are born dead. Sometimes, very occasionally, they do live. And there was a notorious case apparently in Botswana where the thing grew up and was 10 months old. It was going around the place showing terrible interest in everything in sight. But this particular offspring was sterile as well. So in order for something to be happening, the offspring, the grandchild, if you like, has to be fertile. So while the goat and the sheep may be doing this, they are still two different species. They have different numbers of chromosomes. Goats have 60 chromosomes. Sheep have 56 chromosomes. They're different genetically. And these are aberrations from time to time that happen. But it makes a good story. And the geep looks very well. But I mean, they have longer legs. I mean, the difference between a goat and a sheep when we were in Africa, because they all look so different and they all look to our Irish sheep, is that if it's a sheep, its tail is down. If it's a goat, its tail is up. Mm. And these ones have their tails kind of halfway between the two, neither up nor down, like the Duke of York.
Now, it's very interesting. A sheep-goat chimera is the term I think they use in the scientific world for this kind of thing. Now, there are a number of ingredients in this. First of all, the species have to be fairly closely related, and sheep and goats are closely related. They mm-hmm. belong to the same subfamily. Caprinae is the name of the subfamily. So they are closely related to start with. Another element that promotes this kind of thing is unnatural circumstances. These are unnatural sexual practices, if you like. But they are more in a natural environment. Why? Because it's a captive environment. The animals are raised in captivity. They are, get the wrong signals growing up. They don't know what to do half the time. They are impaired in all kinds of ways. The interesting question is, what happens? Does this sort of thing happen out in the wild? And the answer is that it does. For instance, you take the birds. Now, there've been extensive attempts to find out the extent of hybridization in birds, and the figure at least 15% of all known bird species have conducted affairs across the species divide. Now, the group I know best myself are the swans, and there are 7 species of swans recognised. Now, of those, 6 have interbred in captive situations. One, the black-necked swan in South America, hasn't, but the other 6 have. Now, Ian was talking about fertile and infertile hybrids. Sometimes, the hybrids of these cross-breeding unions are actually fertile. Occasionally, mostly they are infertile. But this thing is fairly widespread. Now, the most famous example from our point of view is the suggestion some years ago that the polar bear was descended from brown bears in Ireland. This was based on analysis of DNA of bears found in Ireland that became extinct here 4,000 years ago. But these were even older. So looking at these and finding a correlation with polar bear DNA, it was thought that the polar bear was derived from Irish bears. This turned out to be wrong. Some islands in America examined showed that, in fact, what had happened was that some brown bears got isolated. Polar bears, being great swimmers and all that kind of thing, came in, interbred with the Irish bears because they had nobody else to breed with. And they still do that in Alaska today. Now global warming is thawing out the Arctic. You're getting brown bears going further north, mating with polar bears and producing fertile hybrids, which in time became leaving behind them genes from both sides in the two populations. So this is quite common. In zoos, you get things like ligers. A liger is a cross between a lion and a tiger. Yes. So you get lots of this kind of thing. It's not as odd as it seems. And there, oddly, there is it can be useful from the point of view of evolution. If two things which are not related interbreed, sometimes the offspring, if it happens to be fertile, has very useful genes. And this could be a mechanism for promotion.
But Amos says they can't be fertile.
They can be at times fertile.
It depends. Isn't that what you were,
But I was saying the definition of two different species is that the offspring definition are not fertile. But what he's saying is that, well, I mean, he's talking about swans.
What he's saying.
Richard is saying different species of swans occasionally produce a fertile hybrid. But then these are all swans. I mean, we're looking at a goat and a sheep here. And in the record, as far as I can see, the scientific record such as there is, while they've had offspring, most of them would have been born, stillborn, but the offspring that have survived have been sterile. That's what I'm just saying, looking at sheep and goats. And looking at it from the point of view of the farmer, I mean, what do you get? I mean, the wool on a sheep is valuable. So if you get a sheepy thing that has hair instead of wool, is that going to be much good if it's the goat's hair on it instead?
Goat's milk is valuable.
Milk is valuable, and so is sheep's milk. We don't happen to use as much sheep's milk in Ireland as we do goat's milk. And anyway, this thing is a male. It's not going to have any milk. But and in fact, if it's sterile, it won't have any milk either, because you only get milk when you get in the family way, so that won't be much good.
Well, if you look at yourself, Anna,
are you calling me a goat or a sheep or a hybrid or what?
You're an odd fish, and so am I, because we both have Neanderthal genes in us. So at some stage, the Neanderthal, the last of them, disappeared around 24,000 years ago.
Some people have more Neanderthal genes than others.
Well, maybe, but the point is, relations took place across this species divide in the past, and fertile hybrids were produced, and we have retained some of the genes from these characters. So this kind of thing is maybe a vehicle for survival. That's the interesting part of it. Occasionally, when species cross, they produce a more useful genetic compound at the end of the day. It may be a mechanism, not just mutation, but also hybridization might be a factor promoting natural selection.
Maria Leary says that my dog tries to mate with my cat regularly.
But I'm sure the cat doesn't like it.
It's only young, so it's a cross between a lamb and a kid. Ergo, it's a lad, says one of our listeners. Well, another one says, why don't you call it, this is Anne in Skerry, says, why don't we call it a shaggot? What about Ramgo, says somebody else. I know a lady called Hilary in Longford who runs a rescue called Hungry Horse Outside. She has a geep. She rescued him. Thanks, says Deirdre. How about Bama? Sounds better than geep, says another one of our listeners. Call it a gosh, says Ken. Goat gosh. And sheep. And we've got to talk now to Patricia Hampton. Put your headphones on, guys. Hello, Patricia. How are you today?
Hello.
Where are you calling from?
Mount Mass in Leash.
In County Leash. Now, what's your story?
Just that I was born in Malta and we lived there for quite a few years. And they have shoats there.
Shoats, you're calling them.
Shoats.
Yeah.
They're half sheep, half goat.
They farm them?
They do. They farm them, they milk them. Not so much now. This was from years ago when they didn't really have cows.
And then do they breed from them or do they always make a new one from
them? They had herds of shoats.
And the shoats married other shoats and had further shoats?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all
but
very strange.
But they were half goat, half sheep. They were, because it's so rocky there and dry, that's why they survived well there. And they were just like scruffy, real scruffy, smallish sheep.
And their value was in the milk. The value was in the milk.
Yeah, they milked them.
Well, there you are now. There you are. The more you live, the longer you live, the more you learn.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, indeed, Patricia, for that. So if you go to Malta, you can see...
shoats.
Fields full of shoats, it seems. Anyway, you can keep your emails coming in. Email mooney@rte.ie or text 51551 with your suggestions for names. We might have a little prize. Maybe we'll try and organise two tickets for a War Horse at the Bordgosh Energy Theatre. I went to see it last night, Richard.
And you weren't disappointed?
Not at all. On your recommendation, it's fantastic.
It is wonderful.
It is one of the best plays I've seen in an awful long time. It's really brilliant. Really brilliant. So if you have a chance to go and see it, go and see it. And when the horses are on stage, you really believe you're looking at real horses. By God, they're big. Aren't they big?
Yes, and they're huge. It's kind of a redemption story. The horse kind of redeems. You have the German soldier and the British soldier going out into no man's land with white
to rescue the horse. Don't give it all away.
But listen, they shake hands and you see this.
You're giving it away.
An agent of reconciliation. But this one's just a sub thing.
No, but you're giving it away.
I'm not. All right.
Anyway, listen, you mentioned the puppeteers last week, but you never mentioned how they have the little swallows flying across the stage, which is fantastic.
It's lovely. And the geese.
Geese coming up to the back door of the house and
it's
a note
of humour at it. It's lovely, yeah.
Very, very good. Let me tell you, the puppeteers deserve... They got a wonderful standing ovation last night and they deserved it. And do you know what? I was delighted I was there because... And I felt proud that the Irish audience stood up and appreciated what they had seen on stage. And you could see the delight in the guys' eyes when they were standing there because they work hard, those puppeteers. And you forget after about 2 or 3 minutes that there are puppeteers operating these horses. You just concentrate on the form of the horse and you get to relate to the personality of the horse, and the affection between young Albert and Joey the horse is just extraordinary all the way through. So it's brilliant, 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 brilliant. And the staging of it is super. Not like that awful thing Chess they had there, which was dreadful. But this is absolutely brilliant. We should call it, since it's Irish, says one of our listeners, Obama.
Oh dear.
As a name. I like that. I like that. Why don't you call it a go peep, says Babs. Let me move on down. Lots of people coming in. How about Eugenie? Very good. Derek, why not call them woolly jumpers, says Dave O'Connor and Ross Common. Now, we do have to ask the Bordgosh Energy Theatre for two tickets. Would somebody contact them and see if we can get two tickets for War Horse? And what we'll do is we'll put all of the names of your suggestions in and we'll give you until 4 p.m. to get your suggestions. What should we call a cross between a sheep and a goat? Now, we've already got the names... shote and geep. Any of you had your lava.
The woolly jumper has been across a sheep with a kangaroo. That's no good.
Thank you for that, Jess. So get your suggestions in now. Text 51551 ASAP and you might win two tickets to see War Horse at the Bordgosh Energy Theatre. By the way, we're not paying for your accommodation. We're not paying to get you there. Just two tickets for the show, okay? And it starts at 7:30. So it would be any evening probably but Saturday because they're totally sold out on Saturdays and it was pretty much sold out there last night as well. But really, it is good. Thank you for all of your suggestions for the hybrid goat, sheep, that was born on Paddy Murphy's farm in County Kildare some weeks ago. We liked all of them, I have to say. But randomly selected was the winner. And the winner, randomly selected, just let me repeat, randomly selected, was Rambo Peep. Rambo Peep. And the winner is Kevin Murphy. So, Kevin, we've tried to call you on the phone and we can't get you, Sinead tells me. So, you and a friend will be going to see War Horse at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre next Wednesday. So we do hope you enjoy it. It is a terrific show. Do go and see it.